make deals or whatever, that there's going to be some strict accountability about what happens. Does, since the program, you've decided it was in trouble over the last 3 or 4 years, you haven't been in a position to grant any more loans. Has the commission been presented all these arguments and kept a strict accounting and strict update on what's been going on?
The commission's been involved, as I indicated, Mr. Chairman, in at least 2 rulemaking processes where there was a fairly good discussion, I think, of the program. A management study that we talked about at some length when we were before you with our budget had a number of comments to make about this program, as well as audits that we've had from the Secretary of State's office, and those have all been shared with the commission. Most recently, some of our program people have been out looking at some properties that we're dealing with, and in fact, we were fortunate enough to have a commission member join with our staff in going and looking at those properties. So it is our desire, obviously, to keep the commission just as well informed as we can, and as they feel they need to be informed, to allow them to make the kind of judgments that are theirs to make in terms of the management of the program.
Well, just again to state my concern is I just went through looking at the Veterans Home Loan program, which is in probably worse trouble than in your program.
At least larger.
If you can imagine that, and I see such things in there like a board that granted loans to friends and granted loans to people because they were in need, and it concerns me that we don't get to the position where we start being soft on people just because they're a friend or they're a nice guy or whatever. We have to take the position that this now has to be operated as a business that's in financial trouble, and we have to try to make sure that we don't make any more wrong decisions, whichever way that might be.
I absolutely agree, Mr. Chairman, and I think our goal, and I think our commission's goal, is to manage the program to produce as strong a position as we can for the state of Oregon, recognizing that we're dealing with a series of loans already made, where some of those decisions have already been made, for better or worse, and in some cases we judge it's worse now because of the way the economy has performed since the time those loans were made. But we certainly share that, and we'd be happy before this or a substantive committee to report back, assuming we have these authorities, and talk specifically about any decisions we've made on any of the loans where we've done other than simply pursue the language of the contract as it's been drafted. We share exactly the concern that you've expressed.
Any other questions or comments? Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Hamby.
The amendments, proposed amendments to A and Gross. Have the witnesses discussed this, or is this from LFO, or?
This is the first time I've seen this, so. Steve, do you know who the originator is?
Mr. Chairman, my understanding in talking with Mr. Rist is that one of the co-chairs agreed to sign the bill to the subcommittee with an amendment, and it's our perception that this is the amendment. Mr. Rist has also prepared and provided a one-page analysis of the bill for you. I believe most of you had an opportunity to read that.
Chair, members of the committee, my name is Keith Burns, and I represent the Water Resources Development Trust Committee. About 75% of the borrowers are members of that committee, and then about another 15% are there, but they didn't pay in their portion of the fee, and are not members, but participate, and then another 10% out there, why they don't have much communication with. We have been involved in this bill from the time of its first hearing before the substantive committee. Let me just, before I discuss the amendments, on the language that you mentioned about the authorization of the committee with respect to procedures, I mean the Water Resources Department, we found that very positive from the viewpoint of the borrowers, because not being a commercial lending institution, the Water Resources Department is rather limited in what it can do when a loan gets into trouble, so forth. And this would permit them, when there was hardship out there, to work out schedules whereby they could defer payments or portions of payments and things of that nature, rather than to allow it to go and then foreclose. That's not good for the loan program, nor is it good for the borrower, because it keeps the people on the land, and then they can rehabilitate themselves financially, can continue the loan. And we think that's positive language from that viewpoint. The amendments address an item. There was a very extensive review done by the financial advisor on this program. There are three items that these amendments address. There's a reserve account for each loan, which consists of about 15% of the total amount of the loan. And what occurs, when they first started out, interest rates were very high. And those interest amount, which was over and above what it cost to administer the loan, was applied against the annual payment that the borrowers were making on this. In some instances, it was enough where they didn't even have to make an annual payment, but in most instances, just part of it. But as interest rates went down from the investment of that reserve account, then that was no longer true. And there haven't been anything like that done for a while. And the reason you have that one paragraph in there about them not being able to recoup that fund was a result of an attorney general's opinion and other opinions that there's a question whether you could, in that they treated that as income and paid taxes on it when they got it. And so to recoup that would be a great injustice, it was felt, and a serious question of legality. And that's why that language is in there. Those reserve accounts sit there and just as borrowed funds, and the borrowers are paying reserve interest on that. And in addition to that, the money is being in investments, so it's collecting interest. So they're getting interest from two different directions. They have already said that once the loans are paid down to the amount of the original loan amount less that reserve account, then their loan will be paid off, because that reserve account will be applied at the tail end of the loan. Now, these other two items mentioned, they're borrowed or unspent proceeds. That's a very small amount, and the whole thing comes to about $58,000. But we suspect that they would probably treat that the same. They have made that commitment. And then you have, under C there, on line 8 of the amendments, the amount rounded off. What they did was they sold these bonds in increments originally of $1,000. And if it didn't come out to an even amount, they'd round it off to the nearest thousand, but then they start selling it in $5,000 increments. And we're unsure where they're rounding off, if it always went up or if it went at the closest thing. And that's what this inquiry is about, to find out how much is there. And we suspect they'll probably treat those amounts the same as they did the reserves. They haven't committed to that. And because it is money that they are paying interest on and they haven't had access to, and they may be able to apply that on the end of it as well. But this is just to gather information for that purpose. There's no commitment made on it, and they'll bring it in, and then that decision will be made after we see what the fiscal impact is and so forth. And the borrowers are very pleased with the amendments that were made in the bill that comes to you, where they will not attempt to recoup that interest, giving the Water Resources Department latitude in case you get people there in a hardship, and then with these additional amendments, so this information can be secured And so all the parties are working on the same information. Some of it, the actual dollars amounts are not known today. And so we think it's a very positive thing. And with the infusion of the general fund money of about $360,000 or $330,000, that will keep the program from ever getting in the red way out there, except that there's a couple of very large borrowers that may be in trouble, and that's why you've got that $1 million in reserve of the emergency board in case that should happen. They're looking at a couple they're concerned about. And so with all of that, we think this is a very, and the cooperation with having the Treasury Department and the Water Resources Department and bringing the borrowers in, where we had an hour and a half session with the State Treasurer and the Water Resources Department, for instance. And there's a lot of trust that's developed there that was absent for many years before that time. So we would appreciate if the amendments were adopted by the subcommittee, and they are endorsed by the Water Resources Department and the Treasury Department.
Anybody else in the audience that wants to testify? Okay, with the committee, I would like to postpone the rest of our work session until I've had a chance to visit with appropriate people to find out if everything's go, and we'll get back to this tomorrow. With that, we're adjourned. We're on a work session on Senate Bill 155A. And as I was saying, line 16, the dollar blank there, $1 should be added and delete the word a million. Is that...
Mr. Chair, just so I can understand the motion. Does that mean that when they want to do the transfer, they would need to come before the emergency board to get the authority to transfer? Is that what that, I mean, I just don't know what it means.
I think what it means is that when we did the water resources budget, we put some money into the account to begin this process, and we're reserving $1.1 million in the e-board in case they need the money. So I think that's basically where it will come from.
That's what this is?
Yes.
No one has a problem with the bill then, that we know of?
Not that I know of.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, should I move the amendment?
Yes.
Page 4, line 16 of the A. and Gross Senate Bill 155, it should read, shall not exceed $1.
Any discussion? Any objection? Not so ordered.
Did we move the dash 7? Did we move the dash 7 yesterday?
Oh, no. We probably didn't.
I'll move the dash 7 amendment. Dated 6-7.
Senator Hamby moves Senate Bill 155A dash 7 amendments. Any discussion? Any objection?
Mr. Chair, are we done with this bill?
All but one motion.
Mr. Chair, I would move Senate Bill 155A engrossed as amended to the full committee with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Bradbury moves Senate Bill 155A engrossed as amended to the full committee with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Clerk, call roll.
Senator Bradbury.
Aye.
Senator Hamby.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. So ordered. Having no further business to come before the committee, we're adjourned. Just in time.
The measure was amended by the House, and the second section has three subsections. The first one provides for the continuation of harvested timber on non-federal lands. The second one requires the Department of Fish and Wildlife contract for an inventory of the owl and states the expectations of the inventory, including the completion date. And the third section establishes an other funds expenditure limitation for this measure, assuming that the resources would come from the wildlife fund.
Representative Markham and Representative Agron.
Well, Mr. Chairman, if I might comment to the folks that are planning on speaking, considering that the House could be called back at any time, especially essentially Ways and Means tries to stick with just the funding mechanisms. Sometime we go a bit beyond that, as my colleagues know, but I thought in the interest of time, if we just spoke to the funding essentially, and because the substantive committee already dealt with the concepts.
I hear you loud and clear, and I certainly agree. Let me say that I would hope you can come up.
Yourself?
Yeah, Representative Markham, District 46. I would hope you can come up with enough money to get out there, get somebody out there, contractor, and do the job, find out how many owls are on the state and private lands. I think it's imperative we know. I think it's imperative the state do something about the problem, the number one problem in our number one industry, and I won't go into what anything more.
Well, Mr. Chairman, Representative Agron's District 53, I would only comment to the substance of the bill in that in writing this bill, it was our intention to find a positive way in which the state of Oregon could make a contribution to this entire matter of very great public interest and concern. And the portion that relates to the inventory of the population of northern spotted owl on lands that are either state or private lands is something that we felt would augment the total picture that is being put together on federal lands by the federal agencies, and indeed might be a very important part of the entire picture when it's put together to once and for all settle the issue of the existence of the animal on the generally younger growth forests on state and private lands, and to better understand the dynamics of what is taking place to the species as a whole. It's important information, and unfortunately not being as completely covered by the federal agencies as they are on their own lands. Now, as to the cost, I leave it to you gentlemen to determine whether or not the cost estimates by the agency are reasonable or not. We're not capable of making that determination, other than to again emphasize that what we have here is a piece of legislation that makes a positive contribution, and I think is one that I believe the majority of the Assembly can support and will willingly do so if they have the opportunity.
Chair, one last comment. I would feel better about the whole thing if you could put a little footnote on the bill to the some way to the Fish and Wildlife Commission that they try and expedite some knowledge of what's being done around this country as far as the propagation of the owl is concerned, like they have done in the past on pheasant and turkey and other birds. It's awful nice to say, well, we hear there's one in Canada and some guy down in Olympia's got one, somebody up in Shelton. I think it's in time we find out actually what is out there. And I think they have the wherewithal to get with it and find out and bring back to the e-board, if nobody else, maybe a copy to people here at the table, what is out there being done. Thank you.
If I may add just one comment to that, if it is the intention of this committee to allocate the funds out of the non-game wildlife fund, I haven't seen the list of projects that are currently before the agency. I have seen them in former sessions.
and I have seen them cover a wide range of interests among non-game wildlife, some of which may very well have been important to biologists, but which certainly, I think, none of which had the level of public interest and importance that a complete analysis of this animal would have, because there's so much else tied in with it. And so I can't think of a better expenditure than this in terms of the major public interest rather than the more narrow interests of those who are interested in non-game wildlife.
Thank you, Chair. Questions?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate you coming down.
Thanks.
Any members of the public wish to testify on this bill? If not, we'll hear from the Department of Fish and Wildlife.
Go ahead. Mr. Chairman, I'm Raleigh Russo, representing the Department of Fish and Wildlife. And we really only have one small comment, and it relates to the bottom of the bill, the blank, basically. And I think your staff has already suggested what the fiscal impact is, at least on a 24-month basis, is around $150,000. It's also our belief that it'd be more appropriate to fund this program from the general fund rather than the wildlife fund. Spotted owl is a critical statewide issue, without doubt, as you just heard. The hunters are the ones that provide the fees to the wildlife fund. That's a fairly narrow group in the sense of the focus, at least in our opinion, and certainly the cost borne for spotted owls. If it's that important of an issue, we think more appropriate should come from the general fund. And with that, we'll answer any questions.
I was wondering, Mr. Chair, if there's a possible 50-50, as we do that in other areas where the public has part of the interest in, and an interest group has part. I thought maybe I'd go check with the Senate co-chair and see what he says, if that's all right.
Okay, that's all we have. Thank you. With that, we'll close the public hearing and go on the work session here in about a minute.
Take a short recess.
Charlie. Representative Hanneman moves that we place a figure of...
Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead.
Let me throw out a number that would be 20 months funding as opposed to the full 24 months, and that would be about $128,000. I'll fine-tune the number with the agency.
Mr. Chair, the agency said they want to get started right away. Is that...
We can start there right away, so we need to...
Okay. All right. Okay, let's do that. Reduce the impact.
Representative Hanneman moves on line 18 of printed House Bill 3791, Ann Gross, that we add the words State Wildlife Fund interest and non-game wildlife fund, checkoff fund, checkoff monies. And then in line 19, and the blank add $127,000. Okay. Any discussion? Any objections? Not so ordered.
Mike, gotta move it out yet.
I need to get another committee.
If that's okay. Mr. Chair, I move that we send amended A.N. Gross House Bill 3491 to the full committee.
Representative Hanneman moves House Bill 3491 A.N. Gross as we've amended it to the full committee with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Clerk will call the roll.
Senator Thor?
Aye.
Representative Hanneman?
Aye.
Representative Starr?
Aye. Representative Hanneman and Representative Thor carry it.
Okay.
Sorry.